is MMA Torch editor Jamie Penick, and I'm joined today on the Torch Audio Update with Torch columnist Jason Bent for a look at tonight's Ultimate Fighter 8 finale. Jason, we had another really good live show on Spike TV for free. We got a lot of really good fight action this week with this and Fight Night on Wednesday. What were your overall thoughts, and what was your fight of the night tonight?
Overall thoughts, I might be a little bit biased since we're only a few minutes removed from the show, but this has to be probably, other than the very first one, the most enjoyable Ultimate Fighter finale that I've watched. It's just that good. Nothing will ever top Griffin and Bonner, and being first. First is always special, but this was an amazing card from top to bottom. The best round of the night goes to Browning and Kaplan. Their first round was just an amazing, amazing round. As far as the fight of the night, this is a tough one. It's a tough one because it wasn't necessarily that great of a fight, but I'm going to give it to Nova and Escudero for the fact that Escudero shocked a lot of people, pulled off the victory. Nova almost pulled it off with the omoplata. Pretty much lay and pray, but beating the hyped Philippe Nova, taking away the lightweight title in the main event of the card, I've got to give that one the fight of the night. But if there would be a 1A, it would be Junie Browning versus Dave Kaplan. Great fight, and the real Junie Browning has arrived.
You know, I'm with you on, almost a reluctant fight of the night to Nova Escudero because of what you said with a lot of kind of lay and pray with the takedowns from Escudero, but the significance of it with what was on the line and the excitement surrounding it and the hype surrounding it, it definitely lived up to that. And, it was still a good fight. And in the end, Efrain Escudero did enough to hold on and win after taking the first two rounds, but nearly getting finished in the third. Outside of that, though, I had Burns and Johnson just ahead of Browning and Kaplan tonight. But Browning and Kaplan was a great fight, and like you said, we saw the real Junie tonight. And we'll start with that one as Junie Browning comes out and just punishes Dave Kaplan from the outset. But Kaplan showed that he's got a chin here, and he took a lot of punishment, got cut open real early. Junie was just sharp and crisp with his striking and kicking. They got it to the ground, and Junie took Kaplan's back and had a rear naked choke in, but Kaplan got out of it. He spun around to get on top of Junie. Junie got him off, and this is all at the end of the round, and they exchange just a lot of action in this round, a lot of really good back and forth. Kaplan did enough to keep it from being a 10-8, but it was very close, with Junie just being dominant from the outset. And if Kaplan wouldn't have gotten a few shots in there and wouldn't have exchanged a little bit like he did, it was definitely very close to a 10-8 round for Browning on my end. And then we get into the second round, a little more of the same, and then Junie shoots in real early, passes to side control, steps over for an arm bar. Just a beautiful, quick submission in the second round from Browning after laying on the punishment in the first round. Junie Browning is your winner, and he showed everyone that what you saw in that semifinal fight against Efrain Escudero was not the real Junie Browning.
This is the real Junie Browning. This Junie Browning should have won the whole damn thing. I favored him going into this season just from the little bit I knew of him and really not knowing much about anybody else. But throughout the season, I was feeling that I called it. I was like, Junie is that damn good. But he just lost sight of everything, clearly didn't want to be there. But this Junie Browning, this is the real deal. He wanted to be there, and he came in to, make an impression, make it felt. He wanted to have the fight of the night, he said, going in. And he and Kaplan both did their best for this one. Got to give Kaplan a lot of credit for taking those shots. Took a lot of flush hands to the face and, basically seemed like a bull taking a board to the head because he wasn't moving. And I think got to give Kaplan a lot of credit for that, a lot of energy. I think this Browning could have beaten everybody else on the show, including Nover and Escudero. Kaplan just had to be the guy in there to get the loss tonight. I think Dave looked pretty good and probably as good as many will look against Junie. The first round was amazing. That first round was better than any round I watched on Wednesday for the Fight for the Troops. It was that damn good. This was a pay-per-view quality round. Second round, the noticeable thing was Junie's full gas tank. This is a first for anybody who's just seen him from The Ultimate Fighter. This is Junie Browning in shape with some gas. The arm bar was sick. Very proficient. Minute 32, it was over, and Browning's going to be moving on to big things. But I want to see Kaplan again just for the chance to see another ring entrance like that. I just want the chance. Another one of those ring entrances from Diamond Dave. He can lose 10 fights in a row. Just keep doing that on the undercard, and I'll take a look at it. I'm a mark for that. It was fun.
And he pulled out the Carlton Banks coming down the rampway the way he was dancing around there. I almost half expected to hear "It's Not Unusual" coming through the speakers. But, I mean, it was highly entertaining from Kaplan. And Junie came out to a little "Without Me," which from Eminem, which really couldn't have been more fitting if you listen to the words of that song. I mean, just it really fits what Junie's attitude is coming in. And like you said, this Junie Browning, he's going to get a chance to face up against the guy. I mean, he'll get a rematch against Efrain down the line. He'll get a chance to face Nover, I'm sure. And he'll get a chance to prove that what you saw on the show wasn't what he actually is. And I definitely think that the show just wasn't meant to be his path to dominance in MMA, because it just wasn't the environment for him to thrive personally. And he showed it here with his own training camp and with his mindset, with his people, what he can do. So very promising from Junie Browning here taking on Dave Kaplan. Next up, we get the first of a couple of prelim fights here with Elliot Marshall and Jules Brochet. And this one was domination from the outset. Elliot Marshall landing some really hard shots before getting a takedown, taking side control, moving to the mount. Brochet tried to get out of that and gave up his back. Rear naked choke, 127. That's your fight. Not much here. Brochet was outclassed, plain and simple. Marshall's another one who had a disappointing semifinal. After his quarterfinal bout, I thought he was going to be in this final, and just had no answer for Bader and his wrestling. And you know, he showed that he's got some domination against lesser competition, but we'll see what he can do if he gets a bout against more on the UFC light heavyweight undercard.
Yeah, this wasn't a fight at all. I mean, Fire Marshall Bill, Jim Carrey could have won this fight. Penny Marshall could have beat Jules Brochet. This was a horrible fight. Jules has no business being in there, and this is what happens when you have such a divide in the talent as far as the talent pool for the Ultimate Fighter. You have some guys that are just not, they just don't belong. They're not ready for prime time. Jules is one of those. Elliot is almost ready, but he's definitely better than the class of fighters such as Jules. Landed shot after shot, got him down, took the mount, got his back. There's the choke. He's definitely going to get another chance or two or three in the UFC, and who knows, if he can really pull together some wins, you know, maybe a Marshall Bader fight way down the line would be something somebody might want to see. Right now, nobody wants to see that at all, at all. But Marshall's going to get the opportunity to go further. He really beat nothing more than a grappling dummy that you order from the back of the magazines, because Jules did not fight at all. Dave Kaplan did more come into the ring than Jules did in this fight. This was just nice for Elliot, but this was a crappy fight to see.
Yeah. We got Jason McDonald against Wilson Gouveia next at a catchweight bout, as Gouveia came in 4 pounds overweight for this fight, was not allowed to try to cut any more due to health reasons, and the NSAC would not allow him to do that. So he surrendered 20% of his purse tonight to Jason McDonald, and you know, Jason McDonald's going to have to take that 20% back and get his face fixed, because Wilson Gouveia just punished him with a relentless stream of elbows after dropping him with a left hand, cut him open on his head with a sharp elbow, and there was so much power and so much speed behind those elbows 2 minutes into this first round that it was just a matter of time. And Jason McDonald, who is a tough, tough guy, is on his, what, fifth or sixth fight of 2008 here. Ridiculously hardworking fighter, but Gouveia forced him to tap because of the strikes. That was a hell of a performance from Gouveia here. And, you know, hopefully he can get his head on straight and make weight for his fights, because he's a fighter that's definitely moving up the ranks in that middleweight division.
This was a great fight. It was one that I was looking forward to tonight. Admittedly, I'm probably a bigger Jason McDonald fan. I love the submissions that he just constantly pulls off. But Gouveia is just so almost there, because he's such a compelling fighter, but really disheartening that he couldn't make the weight for this. I'm happy they came to an agreement as far as 20% of the purse. The fight still goes on. You know, a fight such as this is important enough to both fighters that it would have been even worth a, you know, 30% loss of the purse. It's about being on this card, getting the face time. Gouveia was stiff. Everything he landed was stiff and punishing. The right hand, the stiff left jab that dropped him. The elbows were just amazingly harsh. And McDonald's head looked like the melon from one of those Dave and Buster's commercials, because it was just split open and just smacked. And when you tap out to strikes, that is just such a weird, weird place to be, because a lot of times a guy will get hit with some six strikes and he'll be out. The referee will have to come in and step. But in this case, it's got to be such a weird feeling to know that you're still cognizant enough to do something, which, you know, you can tap, but you know that your face is really taking a beating, your head is hurting. That's got to be such a weird moment. But tapping out to strikes, because it was going to get worse for McDonald. I don't necessarily think the weight difference made anything, although it was a guarantee Gouveia was well over two bills, you know, in this fight. But he made a great statement to Rogan as far as apologizing for it. He won't make the mistake again, and I believe it with him. With Thiago Alves, you know, it was kind of like, will he ever make weight? But Gouveia, this is a one-time slip. I think he will prosper in the future. He'll make the weight. He definitely is a fighter to watch. And can he fight? He would probably take another fight this year if he could. Right now, if they'd offer him a fight on the 27th, he would take the fight. But we should get to see plenty of him in 2009.
Well, the way Jason McDonald's been going this year, he might take that offer as well. But, I mean, seriously, this was his third fight since August 9th. And that's quite a stretch. And, you know, he looked really good against Demian Maia coming up short. Looked really good coming back just a month later for the next show and picking up a victory at UFC 88. And then, you know, it was just too much power from those elbows from Gouveia, and such a dominant position that he was in. McDonald just had no choice. But I'm with you. I'm a fan of McDonald. I think he's got one of the best attitudes of any fighter in the game today. And he just goes out there and does what he can. And he came up short tonight, but he's a fighter that's going to rebound. He's a fighter that's going to come back, and he's going to do whatever he can for the next fight. So big win for Gouveia. McDonald gets an extra 20% of Gouveia's purse for getting his ass kicked tonight. Our next fight, a rematch from Fight Night 14, I believe, from July, Kevin Burns and Anthony Johnson. We got them playing up what happened with the eye-poking incident and Anthony Johnson needing surgery to repair his detached retina after getting completely screwed out of that victory. The fact that they didn't overturn on his appeal to at least get it a no contest was, incidental and not really in the big picture a big deal, but it's still kind of a slight to him and not really fair the way that went down. But boy, did he ever get his his revenge in this. And he just, it was a great fight. Two really good rounds where he basically was doing a lot more damage than Burns was, but Burns was actively working in defense. When he was taken down, he was trying a lot of different things here, and Johnson was putting a lot of punishment on him. And then finally, 28 seconds into the third round, countering a punch, he throws a high kick, and that's one of those shin-to-the-face highlight reel knockout kicks. He got in one more shot as Burns was out cold. That was unnecessary before the ref could step in, but that's a big exclamation point on not getting that victory from July for Anthony Johnson, and a big, big knockout victory for him here.
Yeah, he's got a big loss on his record. I mean, that L is huge. The decision, the appeal should have gone through. It should have been a no contest. He's stuck with a blemish on his record, and he comes back tonight, and he gets it back. He gets the huge W with that head kick knockout. You know, another bad nickname, another play on the word fire with Kevin the Fire Burns against Rumble Johnson. The first round definitely was won by Johnson striking. Burns is an aggressive defensive fighter. He was going for a triangle attempt that looked pretty good. Good exchange near the end. This was building towards being a great fight. Johnson's strength was just way too much for Burns to overcome. Burns went for a Kimura in round two, worked hard, but it was just constantly too much of Anthony Johnson, and in round three it was finally enough. The fire was doused. That head kick was just wicked. He was out before he hit the ground. The other shot was just maybe an exclamation point for the loss in July, but this was an amazing knockout, the highlight reel variety, and Anthony Johnson has, made his name amongst a lot of the casual fans that were tuning in because, he's a good fighter, and he's going to get another opportunity, and he just knocks people out. This is the kind of guy you can sell fight cards to, to the fans, because this is a guy that takes people out. His knockout over Tommy Spear was just remarkable. Add this one to the resume, and, everybody's going to be at least wanting to see Anthony Johnson's next fight. Hey, he's got a good chance at making a hell of a run at it.
Next up, our first of two Ultimate Fighter Season 8 finals with Ryan Bader and Vinny Magalhaes taking on each other for the light heavyweight crown here. And this one was a lot better than I was expecting coming in. They kept it on the feet, and Bader had a really smart game plan. And damn it, he's got one hell of a right hand. Vinny partially blocks the right that comes in from Bader, and it catches him just behind the ear, a la Brock Lesnar to Randy Couture, and he comes down with a couple of hammer fists to finish Vinny off here. And Bader is your light heavyweight Ultimate Fighter for Season 8 of the show. Very good win for Bader. Good exclamation point that he's got some heavy hands. That right hand of him is of his is just that. That was a lot of power coming down in that hammer fist. Both times it hit Vinny.
Yeah, Ryan Bader. This is the Ryan Bader that people expected to see the whole time. The Bader Marshall fight now can just be forgotten about. It was that bad that you should forget about it. But at least a fight like this really goes a long way towards redeeming himself. And as far as with Bader's decorated collegiate wrestling career and with a punch like that, you got to look at this is kind of the new wave of fighter, kind of like a mini Lesnar in the fact that he's the big, strong, successful wrestler who packs a lot of power in his punches. A clipping shot like that, even though it did land behind the ear, it's got to have a ton of power to drop somebody. So if that thing would have hit flush, Vinny would have been out ice cold. He was raining down the hammer fist just to force the ref to stop this thing, get him off of him. But that was a clipping shot that hurt him that bad. He redeems himself. He's no longer just the boring wrestler. He's not the guy that put us to sleep against Elliot Marshall. And he wins the light heavyweight championship, the contract, the tough award winner. This is a hell of a fighter. Arizona Combat Sports is for real. CB Dalloway, Ryan Bader, it's for real. It's just great. Arizona State, great wrestling program, just pushing out the Ultimate Fighter prospects, and now they've got a winner. Bader needed to impress almost as much as he needed to win. He did both. He did both. This was a great win and a shock to many because Vinny, a lot of people were favoring Vinny based on Bader's performance against Marshall and Vinny's amazing Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And, you know, this wouldn't have been a shock had it been predicted earlier in the season, but most recently I think this did come as a surprise. Bader's got some power, and he wins. This was a pretty good fight for the 2 minutes and 18 seconds that it lasted. Very impressive for Darth.
Definitely. And that brings us to our second of the prelim fights that was aired tonight. Christoph Szczesinski taking on Shane Prym. And, you know, this was a lot of Christoph landing a couple shots, Prym shooting, not being able to take take Christoph down, spinning to guard, Christoph doing some damage from the top and doing more damage on the ground. Prym basically just had nowhere to do anything here. He was getting beat on the feet. He was getting beat on the ground when he was the one wanting to take it there. And finally, in the second round, Christoph locked in that Kimura that he had in the first round as well, but he locked it in the second round, wrenched it back from the half guard, and just had Prim's shoulder in such a bad position that he tapped out in clear and obvious pain. But big tap out, big submission victory for Szczesinski here.
Yeah, Christoph, this was an amazing fight for him. I'm sick of spelling his name. It's got too damn many Z's. The Polish experiment, change it to Chris Szczesinski, just too many S's and Z's. But one hell of a Kimura, he shredded Prim's shoulder. You know, Corey Hill, when his leg shattered, was just a nauseating moment. This was just sick in just knowing the pain that Prym was feeling, and his shoulder is wrecked. That was a nasty, nasty-looking Kimura. Christoph Szczesinski was the most experienced member of anybody on the cast of Tough. A lot of people did predict him to win as well. It was between him and Bader, and that's what I figured the whole time as well. He's definitely going to get another chance, you know, working with Team Quest, Dan Henderson, great things. This was a nice win for him against not really too much of an opponent in Prym. Just Prim's shoulder, that was nasty. Great win for Christoph, hell of a nice guy. Look forward to seeing him in the future. This was just great that he got the victory, but I'm sick of spelling his name.
Yeah, it should just be Chris S. from now on. He should just drop the rest of it. Chris S., we're good to go. But it's a continuation this week of some just nasty injuries and submissions with what happened at Fight Night. We should probably touch on that quick. You brought up Corey Hill. He's going to be out 12 to 18 months with that nasty leg break freak accident with getting his kick just checked and his leg just went around Dale Hart's leg. And credit to Joe Rogan for immediately yelling, his leg's broken, stop the fight, because the ref didn't see it at first. So you got to give Rogan credit for just immediately seeing the danger that the ref didn't see right off the bat and not allowing any more damage on that. That was nasty. And then you talked about Dave Kaplan and his arm bar in the first round. At least he tapped. Yeah. Razak Alassan did not tap, and I can't believe he was treated and released with a dislocated elbow. That's it. After that submission with Steve Cantwell, somehow
he must have a really bad HMO. What doctor did he see?
That I don't understand how there could have been no tendon or nerve damage with how bad that arm was. I mean, that was 90 degrees the wrong way. That was as bad. I mean, that was worse than seeing Tim Sylvia's arm break. I'm speechless that he was treated and released for just a dislocated elbow because that was one of the sickest things I've ever seen. Dare I say, almost worse than that leg from Corey Hill. And it's both of those were two of the worst injuries, at least in Hassan's case, if it's just a dislocated elbow, worst-looking injuries in the history of MMA, plain and simple.
Yeah, and as far as, you know, Corey, I don't know. I mean, you look at how the NFL always shows you the video footage of Lawrence Taylor and Joe Theismann, you know, ended Theismann's career. Corey Hill's leg would have flown into the audience had there not been any skin. I mean,
yeah.
It was just, it was gone. It was absolutely the sickest thing I've ever seen in an MMA bout. When he tried to stand on it and crumpled down to the ground, I needed a bucket. And that was really bad. 18 months will shock me if he's able to roll in the gym in 18 months. I mean, seriously, with an injury like that. I hope he comes back. I hope he comes back and we see him on a fight night returning Corey Hill or maybe the Ultimate Fighter finale from whenever. But right now, just I can't see it. I cannot see him coming back to compete from such an injury. And Al Hassan, I want to know, did he go see my old JV football coach just tell you to ice anything? You know, Johnny's had a concussion. Just make sure he sleeps on his stomach for the night. Here's some ice. I mean, dislocated? I saw it pop. I swear I saw it pop. Dislocated? I don't know.
I think his doctor poured some Tussin on it and told him to go. Back to tonight's show, we get our main event, and we've touched on it slightly, but Felipe Nover taking on Efrain Escudero for the lightweight Ultimate Fighter title. And like you said, the hype machine was all for Nover here. He had been compared to the lightweight equivalent of Anderson Silva and GSP, and clearly that was not the case tonight, as he does not have the wrestling game down. That is Felipe Nover's weakness. It might be his only weakness, and Efrain Escudero utilized that to his full advantage in this fight. And in the first two rounds, Felipe would try to, I mean, he'd land a couple shots, then go for a couple of more. Efrain would duck it, take him down. The problem here is throughout the fight, he didn't really do much. I mean, he landed some nice bombs from the top position in the first round, had one or two in the second round, and he was doing some damage. The first round was clear, really good round for Escudero. The second round was more of the lay and pray. The first round he did a little more, did some damage with some ground and pound, but then as the fight progressed, he just got into this, I'm going to take him down and try to keep him there. And that's what he did in the second round, and then in the third round, Felipe finally connected on some effective strikes and some body shots and got a couple of jabs in there. It was all too little too late as Efrain took him down again. And, you know, for a minute there, Efrain held him until Nover pulled rubber guard and almost popped on the omoplata on him. And he almost had it completely locked in. And Escudero finally got out with about 30 seconds left. And it was just, it was all too little too late for Nover. Without a finish, he wasn't going to win that. And Escudero picks up a win. You know, good back-and-forth fight. Too much lay and pray from Escudero, but it was effective enough to pick up the win. The thing is with this fight is Escudero is technically the winner. Felipe Nover's got a much brighter future in the light heavyweight or in the lightweight division than Efrain does. And, you know, like we touched on earlier, I think if Junie Browning trains like he did for the fight he had today, he's going to beat either of those guys.
Oh, easily. I mean, Nover, Escudero, this fight going in, it was basically, you know, Nover against himself because nobody was talking about Escudero. I don't think it was so much of a slight to Escudero as it was the next GSP, the next Anderson Silva, you know, everything. He was the next, he's going to be the greatest ever. Nover looked in top shape, looked amazing. Efrain comes in, and a little known fact, Efrain's nickname of Made in Mexico, he shares it with my bath towel, and I'm telling you, my bath towel is a whole hell of a lot more aggressive. When I got out of the shower tonight, that towel put up more of a fight than Escudero. Both of them are Pecho and Mexico, and the towel wins in this one. Escudero wins the lightweight tough title. Feed him to Junie Browning. I was not impressed by it at all. He won the first round. Nova won the third round. In the second round, you know, he just kind of laid on top of him and held him there for a few minutes. But Nover comes away from this one still going to be the bigger star. The Machine will still be behind him. The only other Filipino fighter in the company other than, say, Brandon Vera, you know, Nover's a stud. Escudero is just ready to be beaten, and I just really see a Browning-Escudero rematch. I think that's going to be a rematch that fans of the show are going to want to see. And you know what? Dana White, you fed Junie Browning to Escudero at the end of that show. Go ahead. Feed Browning to Escudero now and see what's going to happen, because I got money on the lunatic taking Efrain out from what was seen tonight, and that's a fight I want to see sooner than later, because Escudero is not going to be a superstar if he continues to fight in the manner he did tonight, but Philippe Nover will, because what Nover did in the third round of this fight was more than what Efrain did all night. He hit very hard, and I think Efrain's punches maybe threw Nover off, but you know, Escudero walks away with the win in this one. It is a true gift, because he got to fight a very bad Junie Browning, and he got the jump on Philippe Nover. But you know, his 15 minutes of fame, yeah, the clock's ticking right now. I say feed him to Browning, and you know, see what happens there. But Nover is definitely going to be the bigger star.
Even if you don't feed him to Browning here, there's so many other fighters in the lightweight division. That division is getting stacked by the day with the UFC. They're adding some more guys that are you know, highly touted outside of the organization. They're Diego Sanchez is dropping down to that division. I mean, it's kind of top heavy right now, but at the same time, you've got a lot of fighters on in that top 20 to 10 range that are all poised to take on a fighter like Efrain and give him a lot more fits. And the thing is, with Felipe Nover, we saw what his weakness was tonight, so now he knows what his weakness is, and he knows what he needs to work on for his next fight. Efrain, I mean, we know what his strength is. He's got other weaknesses that you know, we weren't exposed because he did enough to not let them be, but he just used the wrestling to basically get the takedowns and score points and eke out a victory here tonight, because that's what he did. He eked out a six-figure contract, more power to him. He's going to be able to hold that up as he's the ultimate fighter for season 8. But I don't see him going further than either Nover or Junie Browning in the lightweight division.
Now, Escudero is so boring that I would rather sit through Kevin James, Paul Blart, Mark Mall Cop three or four times and ask Kevin when he's going to make the sequel to When Chuck Met Larry or whatever the hell that thing was. Escudero is a horribly, horribly boring fighter. Junie Browning said that's all the UFC needs is another boring-ass wrestler. And he's right. I love wrestling. Absolutely adore it. But you got to be aggressive. You cannot do the Ryan Bader against Elliot Marshall. And that is exactly what Escudero did tonight. He was just a little bit more aggressive. I think, if anything, Nover experiencing his first loss is going to feel good. The pressure's off. He's not the next GSP right now. He's not the next Anderson Silva right now. He's no longer undefeated. He's just Philippe Nover, one loss. He's going to be fighting again. I think a lot of the pressure is off, and I think he will thrive on that and become an even better fighter from this experience. I still think he's going to be a superstar. Escudero will not be a superstar. No way in hell.
Well, and all you have to look at is the fact that right now he's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Right now his striking is pretty damn good for a lightweight. You look at GSP 4 or 5 years ago and how far he's come from that spot, how far both him and BJ Penn have come from their first fight. And we're set to see that rematch next month. And that's going to be a completely different fight than what we saw the first go around with those two. And we got our first preview of that primetime special that's going to be coming up for that card. And I can honestly say I am as excited to watch what they do for that primetime special as I am for some of these pay-per-view cards coming up, just because I want to see what they can do to build up for casual fans what us hardcore fans are already ready to, and, you know, frothing at the mouth to see right now. And I think that's another card that is going to do a massive, massive buy rate, because it's just going to be that. That's quite simply the fight I'm most looking forward to right now. Of any announced fight, I'm looking more forward to that than Fedor Arlovsky, to be honest.
I have to agree with you, and I think this is going to be the right time for a program like the HBO 24/7, which everybody knows did wonders for Mayweather and De La Hoya. You had two superstar boxers, but a program like that just created bigger stars. It made them larger than life. Penn and St. Pierre are superstars in the world of MMA. We know that they are walking gods as far as the MMA world goes. But a lot of people don't know who they are. It's just a fact. They know who Brock Lesnar is. They don't know who the lighter weight guys are. The casual fan does not know. The casual fan is coming into the fold, watching programs on Spike TV, the free cards. And a show like this is going to really bring them in and say, hey, you need to spend a couple of bucks to see somebody who's not a heavyweight. This is the fight to watch. It's an amazing fight, a super fight, and a program like this is just going to set the table for it and make it bigger, well, as big as it should be, because I really don't think the fight can get any bigger. The fight is as big as it is, but I think the feeling of the fight, the largesse of the whole thing, I think you can make it feel bigger. A program like this will do the job. Penn is a captivating personality. I think that will shine through. GSP is smooth. It looks pretty damn good in a suit, too. I mean, the ladies like him, so, I mean, a show like this is definitely going to sell it. That's a fight I cannot wait to see. Fast forward, I'm excited for the Ultimate, but I'm really, really, really excited for Penn GSP. That's the main one. That's the big one. You know, coming up is the appetizers, which are going to be pretty damn tasty, but the main card, the main dish, is going to be awesome.
Well, and with where we're at in the economy right now, it's going to be tough here. At the beginning of 09, with so many pay-per-views coming up, I mean, you've got 93 on the 27th, or 92 on the 27th. You got 93 on what, the 14th, Affliction on the 20, or on the 17th, I should say, Affliction on the 24th, 94 on the 31st, and then 95 just a couple of weeks into February. I mean, it's kind of a ridiculous schedule for pay-per-views, especially where we're at right now, and the UFC has done themselves a lot of goodwill with the show tonight and the show on Wednesday with how good the free shows were. It'll make people realize that, it'll make a lot of people think, if it's this good for free, what are they putting on the pay-per-view cards? That's something that, you know, can't be overlooked, because it'll be a big selling point, especially when they've got such a packed card, for the end of this month that people are going to want to see, such a packed card for the end of January that people are going to want to see. They're going to have to try to get some people to purchase UFC 93. And same with UFC 95, which now will most likely not have Anderson Silva on the card.
Yeah, I mean, right now the glut of pay-per-views coming. As soon as we finish this audio, I'm going to go ring a bell for the Salvation Army at the Walmart. I'm going to drink a 5-hour energy shot, and then I'm going to go sell flowers at the airport so I can make money to pay for them all. It's a glut of pay-per-views. You need a second or even a third job, but, you know, giving away the free shows is a great act of goodwill, and UFC is kind of like a drug dealer here. They're giving you a taste of the product, giving you a little taste, a little bit better now. It was really good Wednesday. It was really, really good tonight. And you know what? The next one's going to be good enough to pay for it, to get you hooked. And that's what I hope they're going to be able to do to the casual fan, is get them hooked on the UFC product, because they're living on the name of the UFC, but the quality is there. The NFL is it in football, but it is the best football you will ever find. Same goes for the UFC. A lot of people hate on them and hate them, but the UFC could give crappier cards on pay-per-views and get away with giving less on these shows and probably do near the same numbers they're doing, but they're not. They're giving us more than they really could for the buck. In that sense of it, they're really, really giving their all. But the upcoming cards are amazing. And with all they've given away for us, you know, what we're going to pay for is even better. You know, Affliction's going to be dead in the water. And all they've got is Fedor and, you know, Fedor Arlovsky, which, you know, people are going to buy it. The hardcores are going to buy it. But a lot of people are going to be right in between UFC pay-per-views right after the holiday and say, no. I'll check that one fight out later because that's the only one that matters because other than Fedor, the best fighters are in the UFC. So, you know, if anything, the UFC has given enough to kill Affliction, but they're getting away with giving us more and more than they really could be doing, and the UFC is not as bad as, you know, a lot of people want to think. The UFC is the dominant force, the brand of MMA, and they're bringing us a hell of a product all the time. The pay-per-view cards are getting better and better. We're past Couture Lesnar, and we've got even better stuff to look at in, you know, a sense of Penn St. Pierre. Henderson Franklin, don't sleep on that one. It's a great fight. That's a great fight. Maybe it's not enough to really drive a pay-per-view for a lot of people. That's an awesome fight. Things are good. This is a great holiday season for the UFC, MMA, and the fans. This is a wonderful time.
Well, and that undercard for UFC 93 is shaping up nicely. Same with UFC 94. The undercard is shaping up to be tremendous. It might not be the big names that the Ultimate has, but it's shaping up to be a lot of really good matchups that the people that order for Penn St. Pierre are going to be in for a treat on that card. And you're right, Affliction is dead in the water, and you know what? It's not even all the UFC is doing. I mean, you've got, not only do you have it sandwiched in between two UFC pay-per-views, you've got the WEC stacked card with a rematch between Jens Pulver and Uriah Faber the night after it for free. And you've also got now Golden Boy promoting a boxing card for pay-per-view. That's Saturday, same night, same state, taking away not only pay-per-view dollars, but taking away ticket buyers as well for the show. I mean, they've got a lot of things working against them. And really, like you said, you've got Fedor, and then what else do you have in the division? I mean, yeah, the heavyweights there, you've got a lot of top heavyweights in the division with Andre Arlovsky and Josh Barnett. But once Fedor takes care of those two, what's left for him there? And then what else do they have on this card? I mean, they're bringing in Sokoju to take on Babalu. That's two fighters who have, come and gone in the UFC because, I mean, Babalu is now the Strikeforce light heavyweight champion. He's on a win streak, but he's taking on Sokoju, who is coming off a loss to Luis Cain and being released from the UFC because he didn't live up to the hype there. And so now we're expected to pay to watch him when the perception is he's not good enough for the main brand. It's like they want to present themselves as you know, the next NFL for MMA. They want to be that next brand. They want to somehow attempt to compete with the UFC here, and it's just not possible without the top guys. You just can't be taken seriously as a top brand, plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, right now I would say Affliction, you know, kind of like the NHL's Sean Avery said about his ex, somebody picking up the sloppy seconds, that's Affliction. Affliction basically is banking on everybody who, in, you know, the casual fans and even some of the hardcore fans' eyes, have failed in the UFC. Sokoju was great in Pride. He came in with a whole head of steam. He did nothing to impress in the UFC. He did nothing that would make me want to pay to see Sokoju fight. And I don't care how much you're in love with Pride, you know, Pride till you're dead. Sokoju, he's not as special as everybody made him out to be. Babalu has always been pretty good. But Babalu, Sokoju, not a world beater of a fight. Once Fedor finishes off Arlovsky, takes care of Barnett, you've got nothing at the top of the card for anybody to want to pay to see. And you've got nothing at the bottom of the card that is really good enough to merit paying for the entire card. Affliction painted themselves into a corner. They've made themselves the Fedor fighting company, which is great when you have a Fedor fight, but other than that, you've got nothing for anybody. You've got nothing. You know, just like with the clothes, they're nothing but T-shirts and jeans. They're nothing but Fedor. That's it. UFC's got lighters now. They got keychains. They got everything. Affliction, T-shirts, jeans, Fedor. That's it. And nothing else. UFC's definitely got the advantage. And WEC, a free show? We get to see Jens Pulver, Uriah Faber again? My nipples are getting hard. I mean, this is a great time. Good times right here. This is good times to be an MMA fan. You know, pound for pound, the WEC is bringing us a much better show than Affliction's trying to make you pay for. It all depends on Fedor. Fedor is like a, you know, top musical act. You're going to get to see them play two songs, but WEC is bringing you an entire concert of like Woodstock proportions as far as overall quality, especially at the top of the card with two huge matches. It just beats it. I think most fans, especially the hardcore fans, are going to steal the Orlovsky-Fedor fight and watch that thing for free by streaming it somewhere or after the fact. I don't think that many people are really going to pay for it. I don't know that many people who are willing to pay $75 and up for one of the T-shirts, and the majority of MMA fans are not paying for every damn pay-per-view. And if they are, people are going to be paying for the UFC one, and Affliction's going to be one more and done because ain't much left for them. Just ain't much left at all.
Well, and especially with what I'm sure they'll be once again paying their fighters to show up for this this pay-per-view. That's the whole reason they're there, is to get their paycheck.
I think Tim Sylvia will get $100,000 just for sitting in the audience and waving. I'm sure. Why not?
But, $100,000, and that'll be more single dollar bills than they'll have pay-per-view buys for this event. And, well, I can't see any way that they pass 100. I mean, they got 100,000 for the Affliction band card. I don't see how they can possibly pull that when you've got GSP Penn the next week, and you've got Henderson Franklin the week before, and you've got a free WEC show stuck right in the middle of that. I don't see any way that it's even possible for them to think to. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Tom Atencio is insane, plain and simple.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing could they sign Pac-Man Jones? I mean, hey, they might as well go all the way and be the TNA to UFC's WWE. Why not bring in Pac-Man, have him go against Plexico Burress? Hey, maybe that could pop some buys. Maybe it'll get somebody to care. Maybe Pac-Man can walk around the arena, make it rain, and maybe the chance of picking up a $100 bill will make people actually buy a ticket to the show. But Margarito and Mosley are going to be the hot card tonight, you know, in the state. Margarito and Mosley, the boxing card, the Golden Boy show, that's going to be the night. That's where you want your ticket. Fedor, he hasn't made his name there yet. He just hasn't. He has in the world of MMA to people like us, but everybody else, I mean, Sugar Shane, the current champ, Antonio Margarito, that's the place to be. And I think fewer people are going to show up to watch the show live. Even fewer are going to watch it on pay-per-view, and they're just burning money. I mean, Christmas time, a lot of channels will put, like, the burning Yule log on. The Affliction pay-per-view should be a burning $100 bill. Just have it burn and maybe have a couple of skulls and a middle finger, maybe a design for a new Affliction T-shirt or something up in the corner, because that's about all they've got right now. It's just some ugly-ass T-shirts and, you know, one fighter to wear them. You know, Sylvia, of course, in the commercials, they'll pay him to show up, but, you know, this is Fedor's league, and they got nothing else.
Yeah, well, I think we'll end it on that note tonight. Jason, once again, great conversation with you. Check us out the rest of the week. We'll have follow-up coverage from tonight's show, as well as we'll be continuing our torch rankings with the lightweight division this week. Jason, I'm sure, will be up later in the week with a review of tonight's show, and we'll have roundtable reviews from others as well. We'll continue to cover all the news every day, and update you with news and analysis from our staff members and columnists. So keep checking us out here at MMA Torch, both on the web and on your iPhone with the MMA Torch app and with our web layout for Blackberries as well. Check us out there. So thanks for sticking with us tonight and into the AM of Sunday the 14th, as that's what we're getting to now. And just keep staying with us here at MMATorch.com. Thank you very much, Jason, once again, and we'll talk to you later in the week.
Always a pleasure.